This is CliffCentral.com.
Sing for me, Sia. Come on, you're doing so well. Oh, I think the studio windows just broke. Oi.
I hate the fact that you indulge my ways.
Yeah, well, it's entertaining. We're all about entertaining people. That's what we do. That's what we do. All right, good morning, everybody. It's Tuesday morning. It's the 14th of November.
Oh.
I know. Scary, right? Half
no,
a month to December.
Not scary. Yes. Good news.
No, but November's good. We don't want to waste November. And every day in November and December and even a little bit of January, I love.
Listen, a lot of people are already in that countdown mode where once they get to the 15th of December, yeah, they can just woosa.
Get out of there. Yeah, I know that. I know. It's good. That's the whole, you spend, it's weird how you spend your life looking forward to, you know, the holidays, and that means you're doing work you hate.
No,
it really does, because you spend a lot of time working, and if you're spending your whole time lusting after the holiday, and I do get it. I mean, I'm like that too, and I actually do enjoy my work. But free time is just a special thing, and especially knowing that you can sleep late, you can read a book, you can have a drink, you can do whatever you want in the holidays. That's the special thing about it, right? That's what makes it cool. It's like you got that whole, you have a day or five or seven or however long your holiday is. You just do what you want. That's spectacular.
That's true freedom.
Uh-huh. You're not on the man's clock. Trying to make a living. Trying to put money in the bank so you can pay for all those debit orders and, you know, those bills. Da, 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 da. Da 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 da
dun 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 dun.
Wow. Do you know it only got to the dun 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 dun?
Is that the only time you got
no,
the song?
No, for me to figure out what you two are doing.
Oh. Everybody else was on the page. Come on, Mabs.
No, you see how.
Do you think we just were having a stroke?
No, like? My. Well, yes.
All right. Okay. So we've got Run coming around 7:30 this morning to come and tell us about Bitcoin and Ethereum. It's been an interesting few days. Ben has become a bit of an observer of these trends because he's got some money on the cryptocurrencies.
Well, it started a couple of months ago when I started just playing around with the eToro thing.
Yeah.
It is interesting. It really is. And you read about these things and why they go up and down.
Have you made some money, Ben?
Well, Gareth, I didn't invest a lot of money back then, so it's a long-term thing.
But, I mean, even if you've made a dollar or two, it's a lot.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Ron must explain the recent down that Bitcoin has suffered over the last few days. Because a lot of people have been like, no.
I think it just got to a position where people were so smug that there was so much weight of smugness on social media about owning Bitcoin that it had to actually just lower.
As I understand it, it's also got to do with Bitcoin Cash, which came in about a week and a half ago. It's got to do with...
See, things like that made people want to sell.
The fork that he spoke about.
Yes, you know, I read about that fork.
That didn't happen.
But I wasn't entirely sure what I was reading.
Right. Yeah, so, well, this is it. This is why he needs to come and explain himself to us. I saw him on Friday last week. Did I mention that we were with Richard Branson on Friday?
No.
I don't think I did.
Sure.
Yeah, it was a hell of a thing. There were a whole bunch of people. I'd say 1,000 people, maybe. Easily. I would say about 1,000, maybe 800 to 1,000 people at this event. which was called Takeoff for Success. And Virgin Atlantic had brought Richard Branson out, and he was talking with a bunch of influencers. Adrian Gore was on the stage with him. You know, he's the guy who started Discovery. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you imagine being Adrian Gore? That guy has revolutionized. Just put Branson aside for a second. Adrian Gore has revolutionized health insurance the world over. Vitality is his brainchild. You think about what that's done.
He's turning 25 years old this year.
He's changed the way a lot of people actually live life.
Yeah. People are they're trying to get points on vitality so that they can get sort of rewards and stuff, and they're living longer and they're living healthier. And this is all as a result of what he started with vitality. And, of course, he and Branson sort of have a tangential relationship because Virgin Active are in the Vitality program, and you know, so that they know each other. So it was cool to see them. And then on the stage with them, who else was up there?
Casper Lee,
yeah. Who's the South African kid. We know him well. Mubs, you remember we met him when he was like 18, and he had 100,000 followers.
Mm-hmm.
He's now got something like 5 or 7 million followers on YouTube. The guy is living in LA. He started a business called Influencer, and he works for YouTube full-time. I mean, he gets paid for his updates on YouTube. It's incredible, incredible life. And who else was up there with them? Oh, there was someone called Sophia Ike Onu. She's from Nigeria. And she started a shop that sells, it's called the Under 5K Shop. Now, 5K sounds like a lot, but it's in Naira. So 5,000 Naira. So anything under 5,000 Naira that's fashion.
In other words,
yeah, the most expensive thing you'll find in the shop is 5,000 Naira. And that's, I don't know what that is. Can someone do the currency conversion for me on 5,000 Naira to Rand?
Okay.
Either way, she sells all these clothes and she started her own label. And as a woman in Nigeria, you know, she was saying no one took her seriously in the beginning. And she really had to fight hard to stay in the game. And these four were up on stage talking about their incredible experiences, their entrepreneurial journeys, the different generational stuff that came in, because you've got Adrian Gore and Richard Branson on one side, and you've got Sophia and Casper on the other. And it was really just very, very inspiring and very cool. And lots of people in the audience who you would recognize. Among them was Run and Gil, who started the Creative Council.
Mm-hmm.
There were some very well-known people in the audience. I saw our own Hlubi Mboya and Gareth Armstrong there.
See, there were so many people. I missed some of these people as well.
No, there was a whole crew. And Dean, who started a show here.
Yes.
He started a show here on our afternoon channel, mm-hmm. which we just launched yesterday.
Yay. Hey, now.
So I'm excited about this.
I arrived this morning. There was extra branding up. There's different things on our screens.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. We had Aria Kelman and Vuv, which is the new TV channel, channel 196 on DSTV. He's going to be doing an hour every day. I think it starts with 15 minutes, but we may eventually expand on Vuv. So that's a live television show as well as being live on cliffcentral.com. Very exciting. I'm glad to have Ari back, and he's back with a punch. So is O'Neill this Friday.
Mm.
For all those people who've missed out on O'Neill and Ari, that's all coming back just for you. So we decided what we would do is we would relaunch our afternoons, a bunch of new shows too, which are coming up. So keep an eye. But to go back to this Takeoff for Success event, I then hosted a panel with some really amazing people too. One of them was a guy called Fats, who started Ocean Basket. Now, Ocean Basket is also 25 years old.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Jeez. And it started with one shop in Menlyn, in Pretoria.
It's older than Sia.
It's older than Sia. So there was him. There was Gil from the Creative Council. There was a guy called...
starts with a Y.
No.
Well, his company or what?
Oh, Yoko. Yoko is what it's called. Yeah, that's quite right. Sorry.
Is that the...
Kahiso.
Mobile credit card thing.
Yes, correct. You can see them in all the shops. He started this with three partners. They've been running it for a while. And there was a girl called Malebo, who's actually a doctor. She started a business called Mediwell, and she's opened up a whole health center at Danefern. She and her mom and her sister, and they run this huge business. I mean, by any estimation, you know, she had to go to medical school, but she had this idea that she wanted to open up a center with all these different kind of components in wellness as part of her center. And but you know, between these four people, you have a brains trust of just experience, because experience is the most important teacher of all. And to hear all of their stories was very inspiring and very, very motivating. So I think a lot of people left there feeling good. And the consensus was that I was amazed by this. Apparently, and I didn't know this, 90% of employment in South Africa is from small and medium enterprises. 90% of all the employment in South Africa. Hmm. Can you believe that?
I cannot believe that.
A guy from Yoko was telling us that. And a lot of people in this country are still not banked. And a lot of people obviously are very desperate for jobs. A lot of people unemployed. A lot of people trying to find something to do. But isn't that scary? Like 90% of the population is employed by the SMEs. And yet we focus so much on big business. We focus so much on trade unions. We focus so much on government. And those are not the places that we're going to grow the economy. Everybody knows that, but we have to keep reiterating it because people don't get it. I don't know if you saw yesterday in the news, to go off on a tangent, the ANC, NEC were releasing statements virtually the whole way through the day yesterday, trying to tell people there's no fighting here. Meanwhile, there was massive fighting going on. Various insiders reporting that the ANC, NEC was it was chaos. They were trying to replace Gwede Mantashe as Secretary General. There were all kinds of mutterings and murmurings going on. These people have got to get their act together in government. They are really pulling us backwards at a rate of knots. Everybody else in South Africa is working to push forward, and these assholes keep pulling us backwards. It just seems that, you know, we take two steps forward and they pull us back three. They almost are trying to destroy. They're going out of their way to get in the way of progress. Hmm. Isn't it scary? And all for what? For them to jockey for position within the ANC because it's their only meal ticket. They're pathetic people who wouldn't get work anywhere else. A bunch of, to use Donald Trump's language, losers. Who would not find meaningful, gainful employment anywhere. And so they hold us all hostage, so that they can keep sucking on the teeth of government. Which is almost why I kind of deep down, and Justice was horrified by this last week, but deep down inside, I almost hope the state collapses. I know that there'll be huge short-term pain, maybe even medium-term pain. But I think about this, and I think, actually, a bunch of idiots and socialists and people who don't understand basic economics and a revenue service which is collapsing, good! Because imagine what you could do with the other half of your money that you have to keep handing over to them. Imagine how you could plow that back in. And what do we need the state for? As I said last week, we were talking about this for about 3 days solid. What do you actually need the state for? Why are we celebrating SARS as this great revenue collector? Why are we celebrating all these state institutions which we don't really need, that don't add value to our lives, that don't give anyone employment, that don't create opportunity for anybody? Why do we celebrate their success as if it's our success? It's not. They're doing that on the back of your success. In other words, when they take money from you for tax and they spend it not on improving society, not on making things better for ordinary people, but on themselves and on corruption, fraud and theft, then actually you'd probably be better off just hanging on to that money yourself. Imagine if you had a child. And that child, no, hold on, my buddy. Imagine if you had a child and that child was a spender and you had to keep dishing out cash to keep that child afloat. And every time he or she came to you and said, "Mom, Dad, I need another 100 rand. And by the end of the month, you realized that your child had spent 50,000 rand. That you didn't have to give to it.
And they had very little to show for it, too.
Right. Because I'm saying a child, because we always think of government as being parental. But in this case, they're like a delinquent child. And eventually, you're going to say to the kid, hey, I can't give you any more money. I'm sinking. I'm going underground. I do not have any money left to give you. Or you're going to cut the child loose. I'm saying it's time to cut the child loose.
But now, these entrepreneurs that you were in the company of,
yeah,
did they say anything about how hopeful they feel about the current environment or looking forward? Because, you know, you say maybe the state needs to collapse, but aren't small and medium businesses going to be adversely affected when that happens, or if that happens?
Well, we'll all be adversely affected.
No, I know, but they employ 90% of us. So.
Okay, so here's the deal. Like, none of the people I spoke to on Friday said they are putting their hopes in government. That, in other words, in the ANC or in any other party. None of these parties can solve our problems, according to all of these people. That was consensus. Mm. That they're not going to help us. They're not there to help you. They're not going to make your life better. Forget about government. It's a dead loss. The only thing you can do is try increasingly to become independent of them. So, secure your own electricity. Secure your own water. Whether you're a business person or just an individual. Secure your own means of trade with other people. Try to get as much entry into the world market as you can and less dependence on the local one. You know, in other words, try to put a barrier between you and government wherever possible. Because if you depend on them, if you hook your train to theirs, you're going over the edge. So let's all be very frank and open and honest about this. If you think government are going to solve anything, you're in the increasing minority. Less and less people believe that. And it started with poor rural people. They knew because the government's done nothing for them. Handing out these pathetic social grants, which is almost like keeping people in slavery. You know, if I don't get my grant, I won't be able to buy food because I can't get a job. So I need government. Government's my big daddy. It's an unsustainable short-term solution. It's a big problem. And if you can find a way to release yourself from that, you have a better chance of not only surviving but thriving. So they're all optimistic about Africa. They're all optimistic about opportunity. They're all optimistic about what they think is going to be a situation where we may have a slightly less regulated environment, but they certainly aren't excited about anything that the ANC or government or the DA or the EFF can bring. That none of those parties are our solution at any stage of the game. Yeah. All right, enough of that. I see that Jeff Sessions, the U.S. Attorney General, has directed senior federal prosecutors to evaluate whether a special counsel should be appointed to investigate concerns raised by Republicans, including alleged unlawful dealings by the Clinton Foundation and the sale of a uranium company. Are the Clintons the Guptas of America?
Oh, no.
Well, you know, you ever need a reminder that politicians are essentially all terrible people.
Yes.
No matter which country in the world you look at,
right,
there is always a clear example and a representation of how politicians operate. At some point in their lives, they made dodgy decisions. They took something that wasn't theirs. They stole, they lied, they cheated. Every single one of them.
Sorry.
Every single one of them. Even Donald Trump and his family have done some shady stuff in their past. I guarantee it.
Of course. Yeah. I am aware, if you're listening live, that we're having some troubles this morning and we're trying to sort that out. I don't know what is going on. Is it all right now?
All good.
Okay. I hope so. You're not bullshitting me, Sia.
No.
Just lie, even if it's nothing good. We know how you get.
Well, we got another special surprise this morning. We didn't have her yesterday, but Anthea Gardner will be in a little bit later for the Money Shot, which I'm excited about, at about 6:40 this morning. Ben has got some sport for us too, said by Sia, and I think it's probably time for us to get into the five things you need to know today, right? brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. Armed with a fiery passion for authentic Italian quality and innovation, the Colcacchio journey began in 1992. Yep, when their founders opened the doors of the first flagship Colcacchio Pizzeria. Today, with over 36 branches nationwide, they've extended their family of stores, their energetic team of staff, and what they offer you on the menu. And you must go and check them out if you haven't already done so. You know, it's interesting, all these companies, this is also something that came up. All these companies that started in like the early 90s mm-hmm. and that have survived have done really well. And they started at a time where there was huge upheaval, where there was massive uncertainty. I mean, the early 90s in South Africa, you had to be brave as can be to start a business. And true. Here we are again in 2017, and people are saying the same thing. They're saying, if you started a business now, you would have to be so brave because you have no idea what could happen. But those are the people who make the big money, right? The ones who are brave. So let's see if we can start something cool and brave and excellent and interesting in the next year or two. Here in South Africa, this is where things are happening. And it might not always seem like it's the easiest thing in the world, but here we are, and we're gonna do this whether or not other people like it or not. Right, Mubs?
That's right.
All right, well, the president has said that state capture is a political tool. Yep. Although massive international credible news agencies like Bloomberg are now doing massive reports on what exactly state capture is, who the Guptas are. The president believes the public protector's report on state capture was a political tool meant to be used to deal with certain individuals. In an exclusive interview with ANN7 on Monday evening, Zuma spoke out about the state of capture report by Tuli Madonsela, in which he recommended that Zuma establish a commission of inquiry into state capture and the Chief Justice Mogoeng Mogoeng choose the judge to preside over it. He said, state capture was political propaganda and only a small number of people had been implicated. Yes. Yes, Mr. President. Only a small number of people implicated. You and your family. So there's a lot going on over there. This is quite interesting. First digital pill approved to worries about biomedical Big Brother. Let me explain what that means.
What?
For the first time, the Food and Drug Administration in the U.S. has approved a digital pill, which is a medication embedded with a sensor that can tell doctors whether and when patients take their medicine. So for those people who don't take your medicine, they may figure out that you're trying to buck the system. A digital pill.
Ooh.
They're still looking into the 14 million rand bonanza payout that was paid to that student at Walter Sisulu University. Remember? 14 million? That went to her. Mm-hmm. We're still waiting for a report, so nothing has happened yet, said Tukwayo, who is Yonela Tukwayo, the university spokesperson, on Monday, after Sibongile Mani was paid 14 million in June for her monthly food allowance instead of the 1400 rand she was entitled to. I'd like an extra 1400 rand for food. Why don't I get that?
Because you're not a student.
I don't so. Why should I don't care. Why should I not get an extra 1400 from government for food? Am I not an important citizen who pays tax? Am I not equal to everyone else in this country?
No, you can get that 1400 on your own.
I have
That's the difference.
So you're saying I have to work for that. Now I need to also be punished for working for that. So because I'm not making myself a burden to the state, I won't be a burden to the state. That's brilliant. Yes. That's socialism at work. Beautiful. Remind me how that works. Juanita Broderick, you know who she is?
Mm-mm.
She's a woman who says the Clintons must get what's due to them. Apparently, there's a big investigation. I mentioned just now Jeff Sessions may be implementing an investigation into the Clintons and some money around a uranium mine, which nobody wants to talk about.
Where is this mine?
Don't know. But I don't think it's in America. And then the ANC's doors are open to the EFF, says the president, among other things. You might have missed this in his ANN7 interview yesterday, which people said was, you know, very well managed. He knew what the questions were ahead of time. He was interviewed by a real lightweight. Nobody even mentioned who the interviewer was. But on ANN 7, he did say that the EFF can come back to the ANC anytime they want. Can you imagine? He actually thinks that's possible? Wow. All right, those are the five things you need to know this morning. Let's get to Ben and see what's going on in the sport. Anthea is up next after that. Ben, what do you have for us this morning?
For the first time since 1958, Italy will not be at the FIFA World Cup.
What?
Shock, horror, I know. Who would have thought it? Who would have thought it would be possible for a team like that? Past winners, of course, just an all-round powerhouse of international football. They've always been pretty handy at the World Cups, but they're not going to be there. Sweden, well, they had their playoff with them last week or so. Sweden were 1-0 up after the first leg, and last night it was 0-0. So Italy unable to get over Sweden, and they're unable to make it to the World Cup. Just, it's hard.
That's really bad.
Hard to come to terms with this.
Bafana not getting there, no one's surprised.
I mean, like, everyone's like, oh well, every 4 years, I guess. But Italy not making it, well, that's really, really sad.
There are two religions in Italy, Catholicism and football.
Yeah. Exactly. So people in Italy now are looking at their summers going, well, what the hell are we going to do next year? They're going to have to obviously go to lots of like villages, festivals, music concerts.
Eat and drink.
Seduce more women, eat more pasta. It's going to be hell for them. It really is going to be very, very difficult. And it is massively sad. Because you look at certain big events and there's certain things that draw you to it, and Italy's presence has always been a big deal. Even if you're not like Italian, they're just one of those teams that's like just adds so much cool to an event. Just one of those things. It's going to feel weird. It's like Christmas without mince pies.
Is Cannavaro still playing football? Because that's really the only reason I would watch their team.
He was around for a long time, Mubs, but even he's too old.
Okay.
Well, speaking of too old, Buffon is obviously, he's been too old for the last decade, but now he's officially said no more because he was going to bow out at this World Cup. But
he was
not going
to
this World Cup.
He was their goalkeeper, right?
Yeah, he's not going to this World Cup. But interesting times for Italian football because many believe that the current coach, Venturi, he hasn't ever really mixed the young with the old. Lots of old players in Italy, which wasn't particularly a bad thing. I mean, they were pretty strong recently in the Euros, but they just never integrated the new talent coming forward. So 2020 Euros, that is the next step for this team. Will they get a new coach? Well, Carlo Ancelotti has been rumoured as the favourite. He, of course, was given the arse by Bayern Munich this year. He hasn't got much to do. Maybe this is his big quest for returning to stardom. Because they had Conte as the manager, who was sort of the coach, who was really, really good. But of course, he went to Chelsea. And since then, Italy has kind of gone backwards a bit. But it's a sad day indeed. Very, very sad.
All right.
Well, there's actually not a lot of positive sports news at all today. I feel like I should maybe just say a couple of things and hand over to Anthea. But no, you want sport, I shall give you sport.
All right. Okay. Bring it on, Ben.
In Brazil, well, you're going to get held up at gunpoint. That's life, unfortunately. So every single year, Lewis Hamilton was talking about it over the weekend, every single year someone gets held up at gunpoint while leaving the race circuit in Sao Paulo. So Pirelli, what they wanted to do this week was test all the new tyres for next year. Screw it. Too many armed robbery attempts. So they said, well, we're just not going to do this anymore. So obviously the FIA are saying, well, you know, people need to do more about this. The local authorities need to step in. All this crime is just ridiculous. And then, well, the Brazilians are kind of pointing fingers at them. But it's just dodgy. It's just horrible. I still don't know how Brazil can actually afford a Grand Prix. There's some dodgy money in this somewhere along the line. So I'm also not too sympathetic for FIA for going there. The place is a mess. It's kind of like what South Africa will be in about 3 minutes. Rafael Nadal, well, he went into the final event of the tennis year with a bit of injury. But because he was the world number one, he felt duty-bound to be in this top eight tournament. He played one match. He lost to Goffin. And that was it. He says, screw it, I'm going home. My leg hurts a bit too much. Because he had a knee injury, he had to pull out of his previous event. And as much as he struggled through the 7-6, 6-7, 6-4 loss to Goffin, it's just, you can't go any further. So good on him. He's had a great year. He is the world number one. And he must be tired. Hugely tired. I know I would be tired. I'm tired of talking about sport. It's only November. This guy's playing it. Dodgy child molesters. Yep, they're in sport as well. A guy called Larry Nassar last year was basically found with a whole bunch of child pornography. 37,000 images and videos of child pornography, some featuring girls as young as 6. Now you might say, oh well, everyone's got their thing, but no, this guy was a doctor in charge of US gymnastics. Now, if you're a gymnast and you're 17, you're kind of seen as over the hill. So this guy was entrusted with working with young girls.
Oh, yeah.
And he was found with all of this stuff. Now, one of the USA's most prominent gymnasts over the last few years is a girl by the name of, name escapes me right now, Ellie Raceman.
Yes.
She's just released a book called Fierce.
Mm-hmm.
So she was part of the Fierce Five, the Final Five. Basically, she was just part of these gymnast teams that were just kicking ass all over the place. Well, Larry was unfortunately her team doctor, and he laid his grubby hands on her and a whole bunch of other girls. And it's just disgusting.
So it's not just Hollywood. It's also gymnastics.
Well, that's what we're saying, Gareth. It's everywhere. So this guy, Larry's obviously facing charges for all his pedophilic ways. And this book is really outing him. And then US Gymnastics, well, they're in trouble too. Because initially when she was like, look, this Larry guy is really creepy. He's not just giving me a massage. He's kind of touching me a little bit too much. They were like, well, let's not make a big deal about this. You know,
yeah.
He's your coach. You got to trust him, blah, blah, blah. And she, I mean, these girls are like 14, 15, 16. What the hell do they know? They go overseas with these guys. They're competing internationally. They don't know anybody. There's no one around them. This guy was actually giving one-on-one massage in hotel rooms. Now, there's a law that you're not allowed to be with minors on a personal basis like that. So Larry was always taking the piss, and he was always pushing the envelope, and he was always saying, you know, it's part of the treatment. I'm only going to make you better. You've got to trust me. And he would buy them small gifts, and he would give them chocolates. Like, it's just classic pedo behavior, and it makes me sick.
It's revolting. It's really bad.
It drives me to say really horrible things, Gareth, but I'll try to refrain from that this morning because it's just making me angry.
Right.
He's sick. Sex offending bastards.
Right.
So horrible. You know, you trust your kids to go and participate in sport and be the best they can be, and there's Larry with his hands all over these girls.
These people really deserve horrible, horrible treatment when they get caught. They really do.
Shock therapy to their genitals for 7 years straight.
Yes.
And even that's probably too little. God, it makes me angry. So that's pretty much it, I guess.
That's fine, Ben.
There was other
stuff. You're trying. I mean, as you say, very depressing sports news.
Very depressing. Very depressing.
Right.
And Alistair Goodseer, well, he's also had some other great pearls of wisdom for disgruntled Bok fans. He was saying,
shouldn't he just rather shut up? I mean, isn't it better in his interests for him to just be quiet? We already know your record. You're kind of a failure. You have demonstrably lost at every opportunity that you've been given. You're a bad coach. People don't like you. You don't know what you're doing. You can't change the team, regardless of whether you do well or you do poorly. You just don't seem to have any ideas. Out.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, my mind goes to the situation because I'm trying to find solutions and things to make people feel better. But let's listen to this. This is actually what he said yesterday on the back of that record loss to Ireland. I mean, I hate the fact that we have to use the word record before loss when talking about these matches. He said, the crux of the matter, we were ill-disciplined. We didn't realize penalties will hurt you so much. And the 3 points in the Northern Hemisphere is almost like a try. Are you shitting with us, Alice? Are you actually being serious? You're telling me you didn't realize a penalty leads to 3 points. Ugh, just you and Larry and the rest of them, just get in the sea. I've just had enough of these people. They're just terrible.
Okay.
Talks about discipline, we need to be patient. Ireland, we're patient. Well, no shit, this international rugby is rugby at the highest level. Pick players who can maybe kick a ball in the right area. Pick players that maybe don't give away penalties. It's not hard. It really isn't hard, Alistair. Why is it so hard? That's just sport for today.
Thank you, Ben.
Tomorrow will be a whole lot better, I promise.
All right. Ben having a rough day today, but then all sports fans are. Let's turn our attention to Anthea.
So hard for the money.
So, so hard.
She be dancing for them dollars. She be dancing for them dollars.
Anthea would like to point out that she does not dance for dollars.
Oh.
But she is watching them, no matter where we go. Morning, Anthea. We're sorry we missed out on you yesterday, but I'm glad you could be here this morning for us. A special edition of The Money Shot with Anthea Gardner. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm definitely watching that dollar. Have you seen where the rand is trading?
No. What is it at the moment?
14.51 last time I checked.
Ah, okay.
So before the budget speech, it was 13.21.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So we're heading up towards 15.
In a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Things are going so well. The president says there's no such thing as state capture.
Yeah, no corruption.
No.
He's done nothing wrong.
No.
You know, sure. Anyway, the All Share hit an all-time high last week, again, at 60,000 level, but it has come back a bit. I'm not surprised, though, some profit-taking. You know, people are getting nervous. Mm-hmm. The South African Chamber of Commerce last week put out their Business Confidence Index. Not good news. It came out at 92.9, which is just slightly below the 93 previous. And a little bit better, I guess, than August, but just not good. Really, it's not good. The average for the first 10 months of 2017 was 94.1, which is slightly better than 2016, where the average for the first 10 months was 93.4, but a lot worse than 2015, where the average for the first 10 months of the year was 101.2. So I'm just giving you that as context about where we are, you know, kind of 2015, 101, and last month, 92.9. In fact, the Chamber of Commerce actually urged the finance minister to issue a policy statement that would restore business and investor confidence. We cannot have economic growth without business confidence because we need businesses to be invested in the country. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, this was all last week, right? And then, of course, yesterday, Michael Sachs, who's the deputy DG at the Treasury, resigned. And can I just say that I don't know where this is all going to end. I mean, is this even the end? There's so much out on the politics. There's so many revelations at the moment. All the books being written, all the interviews, everybody stepping up. I mean, like, is this ever, like, is this the bottom? I really am trying to figure out where to from here. Anybody? Any clues?
No, your guess is as good as mine.
No, well, the politics will just keep getting worse and worse, right? So we've got...
I was saying this morning, all of these people I spoke to on Friday, they're all entrepreneurs in South Africa. They represent SMEs. They say that the one thing you absolutely should not put any stock in is government. Everything else that you can do to put a barrier between you and government, you should do.
Okay, I get that, but... I mean, you can't ignore government. Like, you know, in 10 days' time, we're looking at a possible downgrade. 10 days, huh?
So?
You got it. And like, can they just not stop? Stop the nonsense. You cannot have radical economic transformation without economic growth. Somebody, like, how many times do I have to say that? Like, do we not know that yet?
Have you not read Piketty?
Have I? Sure. All 763 pages of it.
And you learnt what? Nothing. You could have saved yourself at least 600 pages of that.
Okay. Should we pass that on to the government?
Yeah, well, I think they're already reading it, which is why they've got their heads up their backsides.
Oh, okay.
But because they're all jockeying for power ahead of December, we all have to carry the can. What they don't realize is that they inherit a poorer country when they do this. Instead of inheriting a richer country. I mean, even if you just want to steal, if you're just an outright kleptocrat, like Justice Malana said once, at least grow the economy, then there's more to steal.
I like that.
Let's talk your language, all right? If this is all you understand, if you're, you know, Jacob Zuma or Faith Mutambi or Batabile Dlamini, just grow the economy so that you can steal more. Even if that's your only motivation. Because otherwise you're going to steal less and less because the entire basket gets less and less.
But surely economic growth and prosperity and jobs for everyone will get them more votes.
They don't care about that anymore. No.
See, I don't think it will get them more votes. I think it will get them less because people will become empowered, informed, and actually understand what a country, like how a country
and realize
operates.
Realize that the ANC is like the most
outdated
and pointless organization. It no longer has any value for the average South African. And by average, I mean the people on the ground, the poor people. Rich people are just going to bet against the rand now.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they're going to do. So rich people will get richer anyway. Don't worry about the rich people. The poor people, they have nowhere else to turn. They're going to get poorer and more miserable. So the ANC has failed you, is the sum conclusion of all of this. And don't say I didn't say so. Don't say I didn't tell you. Don't say I didn't warn you. I wrote a letter 7 years ago to government, which you can go and read. It's in there.
Yeah, so the politics really just not helping our economy. Anyway.
All right, well, let's carry on.
Yeah,
let's
shall we
see
so
what
depressing.
Else
we're shall Steinhoff. We talk about companies? Okay, let's talk about Steinhoff. Oh, shame. Yeah. They can't stay out of trouble.
I know. I keep checking in on those Steinhoff shares, and I'm like, yeah, what's going on here? It's bouncing around -5, -4%.
Up 3.5. I know. And it's one of the biggest holdings in my portfolio, so it's really hurting me. Last week, the share was down again at some stage one day on Wednesday last week. Mm-hmm. Down 8% at one stage, closed down 5% because there was an article saying that, and it was a Reuters article, saying that there was an investigation into Steinhoff because they had not disclosed a deal that they had done with a company called GT Branding Holding, of which they own 45%. They'd basically loaned GT Branding 810 million Swiss francs. Now, the prospectus, the listing prospectus, so for companies that are listed, very clearly states that if you have a material transaction, you must disclose it. Steinhoff are arguing that actually this loan offsets the royalties that they receive from GT Branding and that the net flow is actually negligible, so it's not material. But of course, they've also had an issue previously with tax. And listen, I'm no conspiracy theorist, but these attacks just seem constant, and Steinhoff are actually not being charged. They're just constantly being investigated. And just to add to my non-conspiracy theory, this latest attack comes after, a day after, Christo Visser took out 120 million rand CFD to buy Steinhoff shares. And because it's a CFD, a contract for difference, So he, I mean, like, does he not own enough Steinhoff shares? He bought more last Tuesday. 120 million rands worth more.
What else is he going to do with this money?
Oh, good point.
Okay, so
buy more holiday homes.
But if he's
buying,
then maybe he knows something that we don't.
But exactly. Right?
And if he's buying more, then we should all be buying more.
I can't possibly buy more.
All right. Except for Anthea.
Up to my limit in Steinhoff shares.
Everyone else buy more. All right. What do you mean by this?
What do I mean by what?
No, like if he's buying more, what does that mean for the rest of us?
No, absolutely. I think it's a great sign. You know, we often watch directors' dealings, and when somebody close to the company goes in, and it's not just 120 million rands worth, it's actually geared. It's probably like a couple of billion in the end.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. No, right. he's betting on his own company, and I like that. Shall we talk a little while we're still on, like, kind of all these local companies offshore? Mm-hmm. Shall we talk a bit about Brait?
Please.
Who put out a trading statement last week. And basically they were saying that their net asset value per share has fallen 37.7% since last year this time, from 105 Rand. It's now, where is it trading now, Gareth?
Do you Which know? One?
Brait.
I'll tell you.
Okay. And the problem
Get
with...
Get ready to be depressed.
And the problem with this is...
Brait is trading at 1,662 Rand 50 a share. Sorry, 47 Rand 50 a share.
Yeah.
And they used to be somewhere in the 105
last time this year.
There we go.
Okay. So what they've done now is the problem child has been the UK fashion retailer New Look, whose bonds were actually trading at junk status and returning, I think, 25% yield at some stage. They've now written that off completely. So they're not including it in their valuation anymore. Mm-hmm. Although New Look still has a liquidity position of 242.5 million pounds. So it's not a company that's about to go under. I mean, the question is this finally the bottom for Brait?
Yeah.
I don't know. Shall we wait and see?
What are we going to do if it is the bottom?
We're going to hold on, and then when it gets back to 100, we'll sell it. Because now we're sick of it, right? We've just had enough of this.
Oh, yeah.
We just want to make back the money that we lost.
Never want to hear the word Brait again in my life.
You'll regret this if it goes to 200 next year,
I'll be
right?
prepared. I'm happy to regret it.
Right. You don't like this volatility thing, eh?
I just don't like Brait.
Oh, okay. It is annoying. It's an annoying share.
All right.
Should we talk a bit about Tencent? Because they bought... an additional, I think it is 7.5% of Snapchat last week.
Really?
Yeah. They bought what we call Class A shares, but these Class A shares have no voting rights, and 95% of the company's voting power, in fact, still lies in the hands of Evan Spiegel and Bobby Murphy, the two co-founders.
Right.
So I think I don't know what to think. It's a small little kind of position for Tencent. It's not that big a deal. They're sitting on cash of $10.65 billion, and Tencent are just going, maybe something will come out of it, maybe not. I'll just throw some more money at it.
So it's a little gamble.
Exactly. And it's like, it's so negligible. Everyone's going, oh, did you see Tencent bought Snap? Well, who cares? Like, it's so small in Tencent's life. I mean, like, I don't, like, there's no strategic move to it. There's nothing significant in my view. I mean, if you consider last year, Tencent paid $8.6 billion for Clash of Titans. Remember that game?
Yes.
I'm like, Snapchat, it's like nothing in their lives.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alibaba is one of our favorite companies.
While we're in that region of the world, it was Singles Day on Saturday. And you know, this is a big deal, right? So it all starts on Friday evening. Jack Ma makes a big deal. He has a big concert. He has lots of famous people. This year he had Nicole Kidman, James LeBron, and then the Chinese stars were Zhang Ziyi and Fan Bingbing.
Oh, my favorite. My absolute favorite.
Fan Bingbing, my favorite.
Posters of them up on my wall at home.
They increased revenue this year on top of last year's by 40% to generate $25 billion in sales in one day.
Wow.
So, you know, Singles Day is this on the 11th of November, right? So 1-1-1-1.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. At the peak of trading, they were processing on Alipay, which is their payment system, 256,000 payments per second.
Wow.
These numbers are just ridiculous.
I've used Alibaba before.
Have you?
Yeah.
And how did it work? How did you get your stuff delivered?
Well, the problem is the post office in this country.
Okay.
But you do get it eventually. It just takes 3 months.
So they don't use courier?
No. I don't know that there was a courier option on the stuff I was ordering, but it eventually arrives at the post office, but it arrives 3 months later. Sometimes it doesn't arrive all at once. It's a mess, but it's because of local stuff. It's not because of them.
Okay. Have you noticed that there are more courier companies springing up in South Africa?
Yeah, well,
I've noticed quite a few, actually.
Who wants to use the post office? Yeah. You know, the only one who wants to use the post office is Batabi Ledlamini for the SASSA grants.
I thought she didn't want to use them.
Oh, no, she doesn't. Yeah, that's right.
Nobody wants
other people who say they want. So, in other words, poor old Mark Barnes has got no one who wants his post office.
Oh, shame.
And Batabi Ledlamini's got all these people that she wants to use who have nothing to do with anything South African. They're all international companies.
Yeah, I know. Crazy.
One
huh?
pay. What is it called? Anyway. So, I see they're also auctioning the biggest South African auction bond yet. They're auctioning a whole 3.3 billion of local currency bonds on Tuesday, Treasury.
Are you talking about government bonds, government
what
bonds?
What does that mean?
On Tuesday?
Today.
Well, they do it weekly. They have government bonds every week. Mostly, actually, it's on a Friday morning. This is obviously a long. Do you know what the tenor is of that? How long? What's the maturity? Like 10 years, 20 years, 30 years?
Let me look at it quickly.
Okay.
Benchmark 10-year yields have climbed more than 60 basis points since October, when Finance Minister Malusi Gigaba said the government will need to raise an additional 122 billion rand of debt over the next 3 years to plug a yawning fiscal shortfall. We know that, right? Mm-hmm. So, Moody's and S&P are preparing to review us, blah, blah, blah. And they say that Jacob Zuma is plotting to override the Treasury and implement a costly plan for free university education. That was in the news yesterday. While a failed auction is unlikely, the 8 so-called primary dealers who make a market in government bonds are obliged to buy the debt on offer. Yields will probably have to rise if orders decline. Demand at last week's sale fell to 2.7 times the amount on offer, compared with 3.9 times the week before. Benchmark yields have climbed about 30 basis points since then. Treasury plans to sell debt maturing in 2031, 2037, 2044, and 2048.
And so basically what that article is saying is that this is how government raises money, right? Either through your taxes or by going to the debt capital markets and issuing bonds, borrowing from investors, basically local and international. And they're raising the bond auction today because they know they're going to get downgraded next week, and it'll be more expensive to borrow next week than it is today. It's already more expensive than budget.
Even government know that we're about to be downgraded. Even government realize that if we don't borrow now, we're going to be in deeper crap by this time in 2 weeks.
But can I just say that those bond auctions are run by the banks, and the banks know very well, like the big banks, RMB, Standard Bank, Absa, those are the big guys that do these auctions. And they have gone, no doubt, they've gone to Treasury and said, listen, if you're going to issue bonds, now's the time to do it, because next week it'll cost you a lot more to borrow money.
All right.
So as an investor...
Even government are betting against themselves, is what I'm saying.
Basically, yes.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So as an investor, here's the problem. Should I be buying bonds today? And let's say they issue bonds at 10% yield. Next week, Friday, when the credit rating agencies downgrade us, there's a chance I could get 15%. Well, now I'm exaggerating a bit. Maybe 12.5% for my money. So why should I be buying bonds today? And that's why they get the banks to underwrite them. So you'll have all these banks sitting with investments that they probably could be yielding an extra few percent on.
All right.
All right.
I think that's all we got time for.
Yeah. There was a lot today. Thanks right, very much, cool. Guys.
And Anthea, don't forget, Ron is going to pop in to talk to us about cryptocurrencies at about 7:30, so if you want to listen.
Oh, I'll definitely listen to that. I want to hear what he has to say about Bitcoin, which has come off a bit, eh?
Yeah.
From 7,000 to 6,150 or somewhere around there.
Would I rather be in Bitcoin or in rands?
Ooh!
But you know you can short rands, eh? Mm. You can buy dollars.
No.
Okay, just saying.
No. I got you. That's my plan. What are you talking about?
So you would have made over 10% in... When was the budget speech? 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd have made 10%, huh? Mm-hmm. Nice.
If you bought dollars.
See, that's what I mean. Like people who have money, it's not going to be the end of the world for them when all of this happens because they ride it. They just put their bets in different places.
Exactly.
For poor people, though, the reality is it just gets worse. And this is a government that keeps telling us they are the government who care about poor people. They are clearly not. I hate to keep banging the same drum, but it seems that people up there aren't listening. They just aren't listening. They're so busy squabbling in the NEC that it seems that they've forgotten what they're really there to do. All right. Thank you, Anthea. Very good. A money shot for this morning, Tuesday, the 14th of November. All right. We'll check in with Anthea again in a week's time. And if anything really important happens, she's just a phone call away. Right. She just popped her head out and said, phone me. Sia, let's turn our attention to you. It's said by Sia time.
Well, folks, I actually stumbled upon this article recently, and I find it very practical in the advice and the tips that they give us. Mm-hmm. It's written by a young lady named Luminita, and listen, don't judge
me. I like that name.
Luminita, isn't it just? And don't judge me for the source of this article, but the website is called purposefairy.com.
Purposefairy.com. Wow.
Okay.
I'm actually not judging you at all. That is something that I would expect.
Thank you. These are the websites that I choose to visit.
That's great.
But the reason why I bring this up is because Luminita actually wrote about the three things you should do to overcome sadness. Now, we can't control what happens to us in life. I think we can all agree on that. And despite it all, if you find yourself in any sort of situation where you're feeling down in the dumps, this is what Luminita writes to overcome sadness. So number one, she suggests to let go of the pain because, quite frankly, this too shall pass. So she says, things, people, events, they just come and go and nothing really lasts forever. And the same with your not so happy feeling. So what she usually does is when she feels like her world is coming to an end, she just thinks of the time when she was a little down and she felt a little sad and blue and a time when she felt like really that the whole world was over. And the truth is that becomes her proof to realize that actually she got over it. And so whatever it is, at the end of the day, her mind is telling her that this is not always the case. So it's important to work on making your mind work for you and not against you. Because you see, in order for you to actually move on forward, to enjoy the good health, to enjoy great happiness, to be able to have peace in your life, just remember that at one point in your life, you faced something that you thought would crush you, but you moved on past it. I like that. Number two, she suggests to let go of resistance as best as you can. So she goes on further to say, even though it may seem that you're talking about the things that are going wrong in your life, even though you think that will actually help you solve the problem and make you feel better, the truth is it actually won't. And so she's actually realized that what you resist – not only persists, but it will grow in size. This is what I like from the article. She uses this example. So she says, think of drawing a little dot on a piece of paper, right?
Yeah.
When you look at it, it seems so small and insignificant if it's far away. But the more you actually bring it closer or you look at it through a magnifying glass, what happens to that dot? It seems bigger and bigger and bigger. So it's actually so true. If you're going through something, the more you focus on it, the more it becomes bigger and it consumes your entire world and the more you worry about it. So actually, just change your perspective a bit, shift your focus, and that's how you'll be able to move on and overcome your sadness. And then lastly, she says we should change our attitude. So if you ask her, she says a lot of our pain is caused because of our attitude and because of our perception on the good or the bad, our expectations on how these things should be as well. So when you expect something to happen and doesn't, how do you feel about that? You feel sad, or you feel depressed, or you feel disappointed.
Right.
So that's what we should change, and that's what we should rather just fix our attention on. We should rather take a moment to stop and look at things from a different perspective. And the moment you choose to change your attitude towards life, life will start to change its attitude towards you. So listen, folks, at the end of the day, there I was spending my time on purposefairy.com, but I found these three sobering tips, and I actually was appreciative of this.
It was awesome.
Three tips to overcome sadness this morning on Sid
Purposefairy.com.
Hey.
If we ever needed a byline for Sid Bicea. Hey everybody, it's time for purposefairy.com. Yeah.
That's my AKA this morning.
Very nice. Thank you, Sia. There's a look at a couple of things that you need to know this morning. The news, the sport, some money info, and a little inspiration too. Everything you get from cliffcentral.com. A couple of messages that are coming in. I don't know why my first message is not showing as delivered. I'm trying to send you a link.
You know, it's very interesting. Someone else...
That's a very important message. Thank you, Chris.
Someone sent me a message saying they were blocked by Cliff Central on WhatsApp. We don't block people.
Never blocked anybody.
Yeah, yeah. So, send away.
Here's a nice one. Peace and love, peace and love. Hey, guys, I'm listening for a change live, possibly on a minute or so delay. Anyway, I wanted to let you guys know that you are an important part of my daily routine. Kidding, Ben, you are one of the smartest writers that I've ever come across. They said, I forward through the sport, of course. I'm just kidding, Ben. You're one of the smartest writers I've come across. Love your work. You guys make it easy to wake up when vampires go to sleep. Peace and love, peace and love.
Aww.
Yes. Someone saying that if Christo Visa wants to know what to do with his money, he should buy Bitcoin. Well, we'll find out from Ron in a little while. And I don't know what you guys did. You ruined radio for me. I cannot listen to radio anymore. When the app was down earlier, I tried to listen to radio, and 2 minutes was enough. Yeses. That's what they said. Spelt Y-E-S-E-S. Ashley says, have you guys seen the interview between that new robot, Sophia, and its creator? It's creepy as all hell, and the creator looks more like a robot than her. I saw somebody the other day who looks a bit like a robot. I mean, they obviously had a lot of plastic surgery done.
Oh.
They struggled to have expressions. It was very creepy.
Was it someone who came into the offices?
I can't remember if it was here or not. I don't want to say anything.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Oh,
I'll remember and I'll try to figure out whether I can tell you or not. Sure. Yes. It's not a pretty sight is what I'll say. Some people go and they have this work done. And it makes them much worse, not much better. You've got to be careful. It's not a boob job.
This is CliffCentral.com.